SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, and as we get going, for those of you that are heading to Saratoga, the scratches are very minimal, actually, and I can give them to you very quickly here. The pick six sequence, particularly, is what I'm kind of focused on, and I'll have the pick six sequence, which looks approachable. Keeping our fingers crossed that that everything. Stays intact, obviously. First of all, scratch out of the stake. You're to Blame's coming out. The other Pletcher you can take out of the Birdstone. So just a four-horse field in that mile and three-quarter endeavor. The six, Patriots Endeavor, is coming out. Aaron Yagoda entered back for tomorrow. So take out the six in that fifth race. The one of the MTOs, the other Malarkey, has stayed in so far, just in case the rains come. And somebody asked yesterday about why those horses sometimes they stay in. The MTOs, if the racing office will ask horsemen to as late as possible, basically, if there's uncertainty about weather and there's a chance that the storms are going to come through and things are going to get moved off the turf. So that's why the MTOs frequently stay in until the last minute. And you do have a couple of those so far, the seventh and ninth as well. But Malarkey in the sixth right now has not yet been scratched. But Phil Serpy has got Jordy's Ready already scratched out of here, the three. You can also take out the 9 and the 11 as well out of that 6th. Cross Border, the 1 is out of the starter allowance, the 7th. And everything else for now, anyway, will stay intact. So we'll take it from there and keep an eye on the any other late maneuvers. So the pick six, I'll wait until we get a little closer. In fact, see what Rich Eng has to say too, if Rich has got maybe an idea or two, as he frequently does, his simulcast, a simulcast play, or in fact, the case that, you know what, why don't you swap, why don't you swap out, Casey, I'm just letting me know that looking for Quigley. Since we don't have Quigley immediately, I'll tell you what happened in that stake. The California Thoroughbred Breeders, the CTBA, yesterday, Naughty Tiger, 5-1, and was a bigger price morning line. It took money. Naughty Tiger with Fuentes, and nice win for Eddie Freeman. This is a Smiling Tiger filly, and Brian Blackburn and Freeman himself partnered up here. They got a bunch of partners. Big group of people involved in the winner. Naughty Tiger, 1240. There was also a couple of good maiden winners that I'm going to keep tabs on. And the ever-popular Brando the Bartender won yesterday, actually, at Del Mar. But keep an eye on the first-time starter that won for Peter Miller. And Creative Instinct, a Creative Cause filly for Gary Barber, did not go favored, was the second choice, 3-1, the co-second choice, actually, Tyler Bays, and won in hand. I mean, was you know, hustled a little bit early and then got better as they kept going. And this was six furlongs, too. Creative Instinct. I'll check 1, 12, and 3, but visually pretty good, pretty darn good. So those were the two most notable things happening yesterday at Del Mar. And Rich Eng is keeping close tabs on the notable things happening at Del Mar. He joins us now. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. And I hope you're having a wonderful time on the other coast at Saratoga.
Off to a good enough start. You know, we're 10 days in, 11th race day yesterday. Weather not as cooperative as it has been in previous years, but that's, you know, that's part of it. You're outdoors, playing it outdoors.
Yeah, you know, I know from talking to folks out here in Vegas, and, you know, just emailing and back and forth with some folks in Southern California, you know, Del Mar's been having an outstanding meet. And, you know, one of the theories, which may be a contributing factor, is, you know, with the weather at Saratoga and races coming off the grass and a lot of scratches and things like that, it may be leading some folks to, you know, betting a few more dollars at Del Mar later in the afternoon and evening that would have been reserved for the Saratoga card. So, you know, I'm sure the folks running the New York Racing Association are asking Mother Nature to give them a break for the next few weeks so you can have the full complement of horses and some good, great grass racing and stuff like that. But Del Mar's been a beneficiary, I think, to some degree of some of the things happening in Saratoga.
Well, can't complain, because the last several, I mean, really, in memory, we've had one beautiful summer after another, and the numbers are good everywhere. I mean, that's one thing that has been a little bit of a consistent positive, and that is, you know, strong handle numbers. Monmouth had a very big Haskell day. They were favored with a nice day as well.
Yeah, that's really good. The Monmouth was a track I spent quite a few years working in, the same as the New York Racing Association. So you just mentioned two of my favorite East Coast racetracks, Steve. And, you know, Haskell Day has always been very special, you know, to the people on the Jersey Shore. And I know some people kid that it's almost become the Bob Baffert Invitational, but it was kind of odd to not see a Bob Baffert horse in the Haskell this year. It's a very, very unusual occurrence when he doesn't show up with a nice three-year-old, but no question that the star of the show was Good Magic, and his impressive win in the Haskell only enhances the image, I think, the reputation of Justify, because, you know, he looked Justify in the eye a couple of times, and Justify got the best of him, and then Good Magic was able to show what kind of horse he was. He was last year's champion two-year-old with just a bravura of performance over at Monmouth Park, so. Great run for Chad Brown and Good Magic.
Well, and we just talked with Steve Askin, sets up, you know, interesting rest of the year on the main track when it comes to the three-year-olds. This Travers is going to build up to a frenzy, and then Pennsylvania Derby on the back end, you know, as the last big ticket opportunity for three-year-olds before they start facing off against elders, whether it's the Jockey Club Gold Cup, Awesome Again, or ultimately the Breeders' Cup Classic. So,
you know, what's interesting, too, is that, you know, when we go through the spring in the Triple Crown, people always have the conversation is, you know, how good is the crop? And I know a lot of people are saying this crop is a very strong crop. But I always hold reservations, Steve, until the second half of the year when the three-year-olds, you know, face their elders. And, you know, we've seen the handicap division. It hasn't been as strong, but, hopefully horses like Collected, West Coast, maybe for Bob Baffert, come back later on at Del Mar and into Santa Anita. But I think the real test, the real litmus test, will when we start seeing the three-year-olds mixing up with the elders. It should be very interesting, because this is I do believe this is a good three-year-old crop. And, you know, I think a horse like Good Magic and Hofburg, might be able to hold their own weight against some of the older horses.
You know, you also made me think when you bring up potential for people to turn their attention toward other, other venues. Where's obviously the West Coast and Del Mar you're handicapping on a daily basis, but how much of your bankroll gets diverted toward Saratoga, Monmouth, or whatever else?
Oh, I definitely participate at Saratoga. I always do, and I think a lot of folks here in Vegas do, because the quality of the racing, I think overall, is a lot higher than Del Mar. I think having the influx of stables coming in from Kentucky and some other places, the jockey colony is just unbelievable at the meet. And you've got the two turf courses, and if Mother Nature cooperates, you get some unbelievable grass racing. But I definitely partake in Saratoga. A good chance to try to cash some nice tickets and, spreading the horizontal. But and the way the timing of the races is, Steve, you'll appreciate this, because the way the timing in Saratoga starts out here at 10 a.m. in the morning, and there's just a slight overlap at the end of the Saratoga card with the 2 o'clock opening at Del Mar. So you're talking about all day, all night, just about betting on two of the best tracks in the country, especially this time of year. So it's a wonderful period for us here in the Pacific time zone, betting Saratoga starting at 10 and then picking up Del Mar at 2 and carrying that on to about maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Can think about the days in the backyard at Saratoga where the TVs would turn to Del Mar, Arlington, and people would would hang, and it's changed over the years, obviously, and it could only really play up until 7. And one thing that's different is how much later we go at Saratoga. I mean, the last post, a lot of times, into the, the 6:20, even later. So, it's a little bit of a different landscape. Part of it at Saratoga is the terrific TV programming that NYRA, has created, that is getting virtually a national television audience. So they've got that time carve out from 4:30 to 6:30, generally in that range, and they're bringing typically the last four races of the day, and that determines a lot of things. And of course we have NBC here on Saturday for the test and the Whitney.
Yeah, those are really good points you make up, because when you think about horse racing and getting its product out, a lot of it, we have to do the heavy lifting ourselves as an industry. But, as far as, getting other networks involved, you talk about NBC, and I know there's a lot of cable networks that pick up NYRA broadcast. It's actually very cheap product for some of these other stations and networks to pick up. I know TVG has gets a lot of their product picked up by other cable stations, like Prime Ticket and things like that. But, those are areas that, when you think about it, horse racing still hasn't, we're still scratching the surface, because there are so many markets that really need quality product, and horse racing is something that I think once people get a taste of it and it gets, the delivery system is in place, I think we could do even better, getting our product out there in front of people's eyeballs.
Well, the expansion, and there wasn't a new cable network added this year, but between Altitude and then the other distribution, they're hitting 70% of the country, which for 40 days of Saratoga, and quite a bit of the Belmont season as well, spring, summer, and then into the fall, it hasn't gotten, for whatever reason, it hasn't gotten the notoriety it should. But it going back to that McKinsey study that the Jockey Club put forth at the round table, one of the things that was an important element was the access, the regular broadcasting and having a visibility, beyond just the Breeders' Cup season and the Triple Crown season. And NYRA has really gone a long way with that. And it's got to be the long-term benefit of the game.
No, there's no question about it. And, just the way that people bet on our product nowadays, going back into the 50s, for example, the only distribution point was at the racetracks themselves. And then, going into the 70s, we started getting OTBs and simulcast wagering and things like that. But I think certainly in the last decade or two, especially with the advent of TVG back in the late 90s, in-home wagering is really where most of the handle is coming from. And we even see that out here in Vegas. Some of the racebook attendance has been going down a little bit, but people are still betting using their phone accounts with the different casinos, and they're just watching the product from home. And there's people, more including myself, maybe have a couple of TVs dedicated to a horse race signals, and we're keeping an eyeball on the tote board, and one on TVG, one on a track feed, stuff like that. So the way people bet on races nowadays, with the convenience of the phones and betting from home, if the tracks and the industry can get the product out there in front of more eyeballs, that has to lead to more handle, because you're making it more convenient for everybody to watch these things. So, there's a synergy in place, Steve. I think your show certainly, gets a lot of people interested in horse racing, whether they be full-time or newcomers, but it keeps people in touch with what's going on with the business. And handle is one of the biggest parts. Obviously, without people betting on horses, we have no industry, basically.
Give us a Del Mar take for you, since we talked last week. What trends are you latching on to? What success? Give me some thoughts about what's going on out there.
Well, I saw a couple of statistical studies as far as a breakdown of who's winning what, and it's really night and day between the dirt races and the turf races. The dirt races have been extremely faultful at Del Mar. The winning percentage for favorites was close to 50% in that ballpark. And, for people who are not, as in tune with the statistical analysis of horse racing, usually favorites win one out of three. That's the norm at almost any racetrack in the country, is 33%. So when you're getting a strike rate of near 50%, you're getting a lot of favorites and near favorites winning at Del Mar on the dirt. But the exact opposite has been happening on the turf course. You're getting the favorites are winning right around 20%, which is well below that 33% norm. So, as far as building tickets, I think you almost have to try to expand your usage of horses in the turf races, because you get a lot of wild cavalry charges to the wire, and then sometimes horses pop up and pay big prices on the grass. But it's been a lot more formful on the dirt. So if I was going to give a little advice to folks, keep that in mind as you're going through today's card the rest of the week. Dirt has been very formful. Turf has been wide open. And obviously we all want to get long shots to explode our horizontal ticket, Steve. Turf is where it's been coming from.
Interesting. I've watched the maiden races and the stakes for the most part and have not. It's so hard. You want to be able to keep tabs, and every year, the opening day comes Wednesday, and you get 2 days of Del Mar before Saratoga opens, and you say, this is the year I'm gonna really watch closely, and it's not practical. It's so hard to have your finger on the pulse of both simultaneously.
Well, when I was talking about the length of the day here in Vegas on the Pacific time zone, it starts at 10 a.m. with Saratoga and ends at 6 o'clock with Del Mar. And then, heck, on Friday, you've got the Twilight card that starts a couple hours later. I mean, that's a lot of time dedicated to just, watching the horse races. And, people do have to eat. They do have to sleep. And, folks, I guess we do have to have handicapping time at night. So there's just enough. There are not enough hours in a 24-hour day, Steve, to do all we want to do.
No, that's for sure. Well, let's look at some things for today. You got a Del Mar thought or two and simulcast play.
Yeah, just a couple things. I think the last time I was on, I got some emails from some of your listeners. I really appreciate when your listeners actually send me a note to say thank you when, you know, knock on wood, one of my horses wins. But it was a couple weeks ago I had Majestic Eagle win wire-to-wire on the grass for Neil Drysdale. Some of the folks appreciated that. So let's take a look. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll start with a horse that I kind of like a little bit at Saratoga, mainly because of the price, but the favorite is going to be extremely short price. This is in race number 9 at Saratoga for yourself, Steve, and others to take a poke at your daily racing form. But there's no question that the Chad Brown first-time U.S. horse, the number 5 on the moon again, is going to be an extremely short price coming out of the group races and Javier Castellano ride. So she is definitely the horse to beat, no question about it. There's going to be a lot of support for the Leslie Ward horse, the number 4, Conte Partiro. He's a horse I actually used in the Modesty and the last time out. It's a square price of 9-1. Just didn't quite get going soon enough to make an impact. Even the Delacour horse on the bottom of the 7, Care Lady. But I'm leading up to the fact that I'm going to give an 8-1 shot a chance to run big here, and that's the number 2 horse. Last Promise Kept, I gave that horse out as my simulcast play of the day off my sheet. 8-1 in the morning line for Tom Proctor, and I love the fact that the Irad Ortiz Jr. will be riding. This horse, I've actually had a chance to watch a couple of her races. She has a tremendous late kick, and even though her resume isn't nearly as impressive as some of the others with stakes races, this is a filly with some talent. She's a hard trier, and if for some reason, you know, a couple of the favorites do not fire, I know this filly will be firing and trying her best. I think we will get all of 8-1 because the other horses are just going to take too much money, and this horse, I think, will be overlooked. So I'm going to give the number 2, Last Promise Kept, a chance to run big in the 9th race at Saratoga, Steve.
I like it. I love Proctor.
Did you want to comment first before I go to Del Mar?
No, just love Proctor. I mean, Proctor, it's Proctor season at both Del Mar and Saratoga.
Yeah, you know, for people who, you know, obviously a lot of people like to bet barns and trainers because, you know, the Bob Baffords of the world and the Chad Browns of the world win a lot of races. But if you don't keep somebody like Tom Proctor on the radar, he's going to jump up and bite you more than once during the summer because he is an outstanding trainer. And all those horses with the Glen Hill Farm, and Leonard Lavin. But he's a terrific trainer, and his horses usually show up when they're well met. As far as a horse at Del Mar today, let's go to the 7th race, 5 furlongs on the grass. And I said some of the turf races have had big balloon prices, but I'm going to try to help a trainer who's been ice cold, not only for the Del Mar meet, but most of the year. But it's Jack Carava, trains the number 2 horse, Eric the Trojan. I saw on a stat that he is something like over his last 62 starts. So I'm going up against a negative trend, that's for sure. But I love the fact that this horse gets reunited with Flavion Pratt. If you look at the racing form, every time Flavion Pratt rides Eric the Trojan, this horse fires a big shot, and it almost doesn't matter what classification, what condition this horse is in, but really has a tremendous late kick in turf sprints. This horse, if you look at the Del Mar part of the past performances, 5 starts on Del Mar grass, 2 wins, 2 seconds, and a third. So I think at 7-2, the 2 Eric the Trojan is a horse I like a lot in race number 7. This horse will be absolutely flying late under the Pratties, who's having a terrific meet and having a terrific year. He's one of the, obviously, the rising stars of not just Southern California, Steve, but I think of the country. This is a jockey really making headway in the national scene.
Well, and speaking of Pratt, he is he's working with Battle of Midway, and I happen to hear from Derek Lawson, and Battle of Midway working toward his return. And after the frustrating experience as a stallion prospect, so keep an eye out. He worked very well this week, and I think he's been forgotten about, you know, with his return to the races, and Pratt will be with him when he comes back.
Well, you know, Battle of Midway, you know, I hate to see his aborted career as far as a stallion, but as far as his talent on the racetrack, it's unquestioned. And you're right, Steve. I had seen a headline with him, but I hadn't been following the storyline with Battle of Midway. But if he comes back to the races, you know, I don't know what his timeline is as far as actually getting into a race itself. I don't know if they're actually pointing for the Breeders' Cup Classic, which would be kind of interesting because that would lend an older horse with a lot of talent into the crock pot. But that's a nice animal. So it's actually good to see him back on a racetrack. Knock on wood, he returns as talented as when he left it.
And it seems like he has. I mean, the word has been that Zoe Cadman, in fact, has her observation that, you know, he's come back pretty much where he left. So Battle of Midway fans got something to look forward to.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, Pratt and another jockey who's been doing really well out in Southern California is the young kid, Drayden Van Dyke.
Yeah, he's terrific.
And Tom Proctor was his mentor. Tom Proctor, mm-hmm. you know, practically brought this kid up from the bootstraps. And so I think a lot of Van Dyke's preparation, his professionalism, I think is attributed to Tom Proctor and the guidance that he was able to use as a young man. But if you watch the Southern California Signal and see Drayden Van Dyke, I mean, he is going to be a superstar. He's not just going to be a star. He's going to be a superstar in this business, knock on wood. And he's getting into some of the right barns. For example, Bob Baffert has been using him an awful lot to work some of his good horses in the morning, and he's been getting out some of them in the afternoon. Same with Jerry Hollendorfer. I mean, if you have two barns like that behind you, you're going to win a lot of races, and you're going to get on a lot of quality animals. So if you can buy stock in the jockeys, Steve, that's another thing that I would like to invest in would be Drayden Van Dyke.
Yeah, and he's a terrific young man. I mean, that's the other part of it. We talked to him last week after he had had that, you know, tremendous weekend, and Sadler as well. And all he has to do is keep Mike Smith off some of those hot Baffert horses. He'll be all right.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Mike because I guess I've heard that they're very good friends. And, you know, Mike is one of those Hall of Fame riders who, if a young kid comes up to him and asks for some help in the jockey room, he will definitely give it. And so I think there's a relationship between the two, Mike Smith and Drayden Van Dyke, because I've noticed that sometimes when Mike has multiple calls, Drayden Van Dyke will actually get the horse, and then the mount will return to Mike Smith with the understanding that he's the guy. So very interesting to see that dynamic between those two to develop a nice friendship.
Well, Rich, we appreciate these ideas, and wish you luck today, this weekend. We'll check in with you next week.
It sounds great, Steve. Thank you very much, and good luck to everybody out there.
Rich Eng, folks. Rich Eng for Pro Pick on Twitter and at RaceDayLasVegas.com for Rich's analysis daily that is available to you on the website. Just go to RaceDayLasVegas.com, bop on his noggin, and he'll take you to his analysis. And he provides his write-up a very fair number. So, Rich Eng, always fun, author of Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies. Good look. Take a break. Last time out of the morning. We'll come back, get some final thoughts on today at Saratoga in particular. And it continues. Tell you what, sky's pretty bright. I right now, looks like we're going to dodge this. It'll be all right. Yeah. No. And the answer, K, is no. Tomorrow, for Quigley. Quigley got back to me, and he'll take us tomorrow. All right? We'll do our Quigley Corner segment with him for weekend preview. And, of course, tomorrow, previewing West Virginia and Saratoga and Del Mar and more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. One story I kind of waited on all morning that I didn't discuss, and I can just tell you that there's hope this morning that in the next hour there'll be a resolution in Massachusetts. They're working on a you can't make this up, that the state legislature somehow, as their sessions was wrapping up the other day, they forgot to renew the bill, the law that handles simulcasting and live racing in Massachusetts. And as a result, yesterday at Suffolk, anybody who wanted to come and bet simulcast got turned away. And, you know, there's the terrific Saturday-Sunday card that is set for racing at Suffolk this weekend. There's apparently some, I guess there's some emergency measures or the potential to do something that, you know, basically extends the law that then they, when they, next time they get in session, they can do the formalities. But you got to be, I mean, you got to be kidding that you would miss this. So both for now, Plain Ridge and Suffolk are hanging in the balance and in limbo, waiting for some answer from the State House. They forgot. They the reauthorization bill. Whoever the what's the role in a bicameral setting that lays out the agenda. There's a specific person, I think, right? That lines up the, you know, what legislation has to be handled. Amazing. All right, and if I see it, if I get the word from anybody, that we'll pass it along. But they're hopeful that they're going to straighten this out today. All right, and so that everybody can run, because the again, nice big full fields at Suffolk for this weekend, and there also, by the way, there's supposed to be, the expectation is that there will be another September weekend like last year, that they'll add another set of dates, another weekend, the 15th and 16th, anticipated to run at Suffolk as well. Okay, so that's my more Massachusetts news, along with the mention yesterday of what Stronach is looking to do. Some final thoughts about it here. The first half, let's look at the first half of that pick six sequence today. And Rich helped you, of course, with the ninth race, the conditional allowance, which includes that Martin Schwartz import on the moon again, a Cape Cross filly that should probably, you know, be very, very tough. The five in there for Chad. So maybe that's a big lean for you in the carryover. I'll finalize my ticket and put things up. But the rest of the action, it starts in the fifth with that claiming group. And Loose looks to me like a you know, a very strong play as an A. And I suppose that you got to respect the B in there, the Morley, the horse moving to Morley, darling, daring prospect. But, boy, Brad Cox with Loose sure looks strong in there. And I think maybe you can ideally get through. I mean, should have a very advantageous stalking trip to whatever speed. And, of course, Patriotic Endeavor, we mentioned, came out. So daring prospect, maybe daring prospect and Loose, you know, just set up shop 1-2 in front. Maybe, you know, maybe, I don't know, that, how about Lacey Gaudette showing up with No More Excuses, coming back turf to dirt, which has been a good angle for her. She's got a positive ROI doing that. Doesn't look strong enough on Figs, but she'll be running late. And even Sal Iorio shows up from Finger Lakes with Brooklyn Gal, who I don't think is unreasonable either in here as a late runner. But, you know, the horse to beat, way beat, is Loose on the outside from Brad Cox. So if you have a small ticket, maybe lean right there. Then the second leg, maiden claiming group for 40. And Diva's Revenge is not the favorite. Linda Rice, and I thought that she made great sense in here, and was going to get that much better as a second timer. This is a factor filly, and I think you get the right trip. A horse like Tom Bush, Jasmine's Gem, has had so many chances. There's not a lot of speed in here, and it's a turf sprint. So I would imagine that Junior Alvarado is aggressive with Diva's Revenge. And Currency Chaos, 8-1. David Donk for Charlie Engel. And could kind of suck along too. There was one other horse in there that Mrs. Weber, Live Oak, dropping from maiden special company, Super Echo, a homebred Macho Uno filly. There's a little bit of just enough turf in there to think that, that she could be okay. So 6-4, 10-8. And then Tony Dutrow, who actually we actually saw. Yeah, we were sitting on the patio at Danny, at Osteria Danny last night, and Tony walked by. Here comes your man. The 2-4-1 is going to need a little bit of pace in front, and that's the one concern. Is there going to be enough of a pace? It's a mile and an eighth on the grass. Century from Shug. You know, certainly, Bill Mott, who had a tremendous week, 6 wins last week. Honey Don't for Harvey Clark, homebred, a Soldat gelding. Just broke his maiden, dropping in for 40, and so eligible for this starter allowance. So those three, 2-5-4, felt like enough to get through. And that sets you up for the first half. And I'll have the rest up shortly on the website. So keep the rain away today. Look forward to a big weekend preview tomorrow. Get Nick Tamaro, see how his Del Mar trip went. The contest players are got their sights set on Saratoga next week, too. Good luck today, everybody. Replay 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM. HRRN coverage, 3 o'clock. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.